Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Janie Lee Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quit lit authors, and sober heroes. Hi, this is Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the podcast, Alcohol Free Life. I hope you've had a good week. It's been another mad, busy one here. We're into our second week of the Sober Club. It's absolutely rocking. Tell you a bit more about it later on. I won't always be wanging on about it, by the way, because we are going to be closing the doors soon for founder members. But at the moment, it still feels super exciting. We're just into our second week and we've got some just fabulous stuff going on, some amazing content. I've been blown away by the amount of people who've said yes as soon as I've asked them whether they'll share their expertise. So we've really got some amazing people in the club, and we have a little exclusive Facebook group as well, which is totally rocking. So thank you if you're part of it, and if you aren't part of it yet but you'd like to be, check it out. It's thesoberclub.com. We still have our founder membership rate there. I'll remind you more about it later. But I thought that this week what would be great is to, because I've been doing the Sober Club, of course, I've been really thinking a lot about nutrition and about fitness. And, you know, so many people, whatever stage they're at in their journey, they almost always want to have a rethink about their diet, whether it's that they want to lose some weight or they want to just get healthier or they want to ditch the sugar. You know, that can be a big one. So in the Sober Club, we have masses of content, lots already there and lots on the way around this, and some fantastic experts. I hope you enjoyed the naturopath last week, by the way, Katie Ruan. She was great. And I've got lots more coming up in that arena. But one area that I haven't done very much on is fitness. And again, that's another thing that so many people find that they turn to once they've ditched the demon drink. They've got far more time and energy, literally, if they've got the energy to, you know, sort of move their backside, really. And for some people, it becomes a new healthier addiction, actually sort of taking off to the gym or starting to run or whatever it might be. Now, I've confessed before that I find this hard. I suppose there's no other way of describing it, really. I just don't enjoy that kind of exertion. I love dancing, don't get me wrong. Any Strictly producers listening, I'm your gal. We wish. But I absolutely love dancing. I love yoga. I love Pilates. I love stretch stuff. And obviously, I'm partial to a fast walk. But I do not find running easy. I don't know what's going on there with me. I can't seem to run. And I've never been able to kind of go to a gym or really do a proper workout. I just find it really, really difficult. Now, having said all of that, you know, I realize that I'm just completely making excuses. And I used to say exactly the same stuff about, you know, ditching the booze. So I know that, you know, there's that thing of I'm kind of talking to you and pointing a finger at you, and I've got, you know, the four coming back at me, because, you know, maybe it is time for me to actually make a change now, as well as you know, inspiring, hopefully, and encouraging other people to look at their health and well-being. You know, I'm queen of telling people what to do, how to really look again at their nutrition and all of this. But the fitness, you know, I have not got it cracked. I'm completely honest with you on that. So I love it when I get to talk to people or get to interview people who have a different approach to me, of course, and they're inspirational, but they're also very realistic. And I think that has to be the starting point. It has to be realistic, because we're not all at the same stage. So anyways, to that end, I'm really thrilled that I'm going to be speaking today on the podcast to Jane Thurnell Reed. Now, Jane isn't really, how do I say this? She's not, I wouldn't say she's an expert. She's not sort of set herself up as a teacher or a trainer or anything like that. But she is really inspirational. And I met Jane a while ago, and I was just struck by her sort of passion and enthusiasm for fitness. I know she won't mind me saying she's an older woman, and she's just really very, very inspiring as to how we can age well and remain active, you know, as we age. Because, you know, I absolutely do believe in the use it or lose it mantra. There's no doubt about that. So I thought it'd be great to bring a different voice onto the podcast this week, someone who is a little older, perhaps wiser, and absolutely passionate about fitness. In her case, as you'll hear us talk, lifting weights and thinking about really strengthening your bones, which of course is crucially important. But she's also a vegan, and so she brings another whole layer to that. And again, she's very realistic in the food swaps that she suggests. So whether or not you intend to be vegan, you know, you'll still really benefit from this conversation. I hope. She's totally inspirational. You can find her on Instagram. Again, that was almost an accident, you know, for Jane, as she'll tell you in the interview. She you know, started posting a few videos, and suddenly she's got all these followers. It's amazing. So anyways, Jane Thurnell Reed, enjoy. Welcome, Jane. Tell us a bit about your story, because it's fascinating, and you are such an inspirational, amazing, dare I say, older woman. But you certainly don't look it for anyone who's watching the video. But you're just such an inspiration, and I love hearing about all the stuff you do. So just share a little bit about your story with us.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was never interested in sport or fitness or health or anything like that as a child. And I was always the last one to change for games and things at school. I hated it. In my 20s, I rather lost my way and ended up smoking loads of cigarettes. I was drinking half a bottle of whiskey a day and generally doing my best to kill myself very, very slowly. Eventually, I got to grips, and then things started to change. And really in my 40s, I started looking at exercising seriously, and I found I really enjoyed it. I used to do a lot of cycling. In my 60s, I started going to the gym, and I'm a bit obsessed, as a friend said to me recently. I'm rather obsessed with deadlifting and seeing how much I can deadlift. So my exercise journey has gone from doing nothing and hating it to abusing my body to being really, really keen on it and feeling the benefits of it. And alongside of that, I've also, you know, my diet's changed a lot, and I'm now vegan and have been vegan for almost 5 years, and I'm very passionate about that. I think that works really well.
And on Instagram, you've amassed a great following in a very short space of time, with your name on there, Thriving Jane. And again, on there, I think what's captured people's imagination is the fact that you've shared some videos of you actually working out in the gym. You know, it's just really, really inspiring. We should say, by the way, you're 71, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Amazing strength you've got there, and stamina. I mean, absolutely incredible. And as you say, you're a vegan. So there's all these things that kind of don't necessarily always go together. And I really love the fact that you also try to make it really kind of, you try and encourage people to bring this into their life, whatever stage they're at. Now, you know, there'll be lots of people listening who, I mean, like me, I have to confess, I'm not a gym bunny. I really don't enjoy going to the gym. I know that some people do, but you still, you know, your attitude would still be, well, there's still loads you can do. and I think that's what's great. So just tell us a little bit about how you are trying to encourage people to introduce, movement and fitness, really whatever stage they're at. You know, why is it so important?
Yeah, I mean, that started actually completely by accident. I was just doing my own stuff and talking to people about it. And people kept on saying, oh, you're really inspiring, you know. And then a friend said, you should be posting pictures of you in the gym on Instagram. And I started doing that. And I got amazing responses from lots and lots of different people, saying, you've inspired me. Somebody said, I decided to start going to the gym as a result of seeing your videos. I'm 55 and I normally go for a walk, but you've made me want to go to the gym, so I've signed up and I start tomorrow. You know, and people have been putting really, really great things. And I guess the reason I want to encourage other people is because I feel so much the benefit of taking regular exercise and also a plant-based diet. You know, both of those have transformed my life. And like everybody who gets their lives transformed, you always want to share it.
Of course. I mean, for anyone who's, you know, relatively recently ditched the booze, you know, that often is the time when people start to, well, they have a little bit more time on their hands. And of course, you know, it's a fantastic new addiction to take hold rather than drinking. But where do you start? You know, if you maybe haven't done much exercise in years, perhaps you're carrying a bit of extra weight or you're really not very fit. Because it is the getting started, I think, that's so hard for a lot of people. So, you know, let's take, for example, a woman who might be in her, I don't know, 50s, 60s, whatever. If they haven't done any exercise for absolutely ages, it can feel really quite fearful, actually. And it's another one of those things that can be, you can kind of think to yourself, oh God, I can't load on another thing to my already packed schedule. So what would you recommend? Well, we'll come on to talk about diet as well, but just the fitness thing first, because I know it's paramount in people's minds. How do we somehow fit it in and make it okay?
Well, I think one of the things I always say to people is if you fit it in, you end up with more extra time, you know, because like you can run upstairs, you know, you can run to catch a bus, your posture's better, everything's better. And so your everyday life becomes easier.
Right.
And now, I mean, there's loads and loads and loads of evidence about the effect of exercise on our mental health. And obviously, so if you're feeling more positive, then you can deal with all sorts of things in your life.
Yeah.
And I know on the days I go to the gym, I may be tired afterwards. And sometimes I think, oh, I don't have time. But then things to do with work or relationship stuff or anything, because you've got that solid, I've been to the gym and I've done that, and you've got the positive endorphins from it, then you can cope more easily with the rest of the day. Mm. Now, I think one of the dangers is people wait for it to be the perfect time to start exercising.
Rather like giving up drinking.
Yes,
we procrastinate, don't we? We put it off.
Yes, I'm going to start next week or after my holiday, or, you know, when I'm going to lose the weight and then I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to work out at home, and then I'm going to start doing something, you know, in public. Then I'm going to start running in public or something, but I'm going to do it at home first.
Yeah.
And most people who say that sort of thing actually never actually get to the point when they're exercising. So I think you just have to bite the bullet and do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then so for those of us who aren't going to hit the gym, then what else can we do? You know, what I mean, I guess it's a case of finding something you enjoy at least a bit, because otherwise you probably won't keep it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else can we do that will have, you know, reasonable benefits reasonably quickly, but won't absolutely exhaust us and put us off if we're new to it all? I want it all way round, don't I, really?
Yes. Well, obviously, running is a great one for some people. And there is a wonderful program, a wonderful app called Couch to 5K.
Yeah.
And a lot of people swear by that. And you start off, I think you run or
you
jog.
You start walking, I think, don't you? And then,
Yeah.
But do you think I mean, on that note, that's an interesting point, because you're right. And I tried Couch to 5K, but I think I made the mistake. I may have said this before, but I don't know whether everyone's shape, I don't know whether everyone's built to run, because I was so hopeless at it. And then what happened was, when I actually kind of broke into a run, finally, I was running down the canal path and I just kind of tripped up and slipped and came home bruised and bleeding. And the kids are sort of at the door going, oh, that worked really well, didn't it? Not. But
But was it that I had the wrong shoes, or that I shouldn't have been running on a canal path, or is it possible that actually, you know what, I'm not built to run?
I think we're probably all built to run. Some of us
do.
Are
you?
Built
to run. That's just one of my excuses, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't particularly enjoy running, and so I don't run. Because I mean, not in general, because it's something I don't enjoy. I actually don't mind running on the treadmill in a gym so much. I think because I feel I can stop at any moment. Mm. So if I get tired, I can stop.
Yeah.
Whereas if I go out into the big wide world for a run, you know, you could be 10 minutes down the road and then think, oh, I'll get all the way home now.
Yeah. And fast walking, I mean, is that going to, you know?
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, what you need to do is be getting breathless and a bit sweaty.
Yeah.
So you need your heart rate to be up. You should be on the point where you can't actually hold a conversation. You know, even fairly early on, that's really important. Mm. I mean, in terms of the gym, I often see people, particularly women at the gym, and they're using very light weights. They're often chatting to the friend they went with. And you know, they're not really working out, and so they don't see any improvement. And because, you know, if you don't see any improvement, then it's really boring and the gym doesn't work for me, people say.
Mm. And you use a personal trainer sometimes, is that right? Do you find benefit in that?
I do, because he encourages me and he understands what he pushes me in a way that maybe I wouldn't push myself. Mm. Now, not everybody can afford a personal trainer. And I mean, if you want, you can start at home, and if you're at home, you can use if you go on eBay or somewhere like that and put in resistance bands.
Yeah.
There are two different sorts. One is like a rubber, just like a rubber ring, and you can use that and do all sorts of different moves. It usually will come with instructions.
Yeah.
And the other one are sort of like ropes with a handle that you can clip on each end. Those again will come with instructions. And a pack of both of those would probably set you back £20, £25.
Mm. So you could just do like a 15-minute workout at home or, yeah.
Yeah. And there are, you know, online you can Google, you know, resistance band home workout or something. Mm. And you'll find lots and lots of different programs, and find one you like and start doing it.
Yeah.
But you need to do it. You need to exercise. If you're going to do something like this, you need to do it like a minimum of 3 times a week.
Yeah, to make a difference. Now, in your case, I know you're really impressive because you can almost lift your own weight. Is that right? Almost lift your own weight. Oh, my goodness. Yes. And yet, and I know there'll be people listening who are thinking, oh, right, Jane's one of those, you know, big, muscly types. But in fact, that couldn't be further from the truth. So explain to us, I mean, where have we got this kind of misconception that if you're lifting weights, you're doing it to try to build big old muscles?
Well, I have got muscles, but they don't make me look unfeminine and things.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but I think a lot of women are concerned about that. They're worried that if they start lifting weights, they will look as if they're trying to be involved in a bodybuilding contest, which then they're not.
Yes, I was talking to somebody who'd only recently started at my gym, and she said, "Oh, I don't want to get big, i.e., big muscles." And I said, "Well, I've been trying for nearly 5 years." I mean, I don't want to get big, but I was trying to, you know, say to her, you know, this, you won't get big, but what you do get, if you get getting the extra muscle, apart from anything else, muscles take more calories for your body to look after muscle. It takes more calories than it does for fat. So when you're sitting, even like I'm sitting now, because my body is more has more muscles than most women of my age, I'm actually using more calories just sitting here than somebody my age, same weight, sitting here.
Yeah, great. So
actually, you get to eat more.
You get to eat more, which is always good. We'll come on to that. One other thing that I'm guessing you would sort of advocate is that, you know, certainly again for women as we get older, osteoporosis can become a factor. And I'm guessing you feel you've really got your insurance policy sorted there, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had a bike accident about 6 years ago. And when they got me onto to the side of the road, the woman phoned up and said, you know, and I could hear her saying, suspected broken pelvis, suspected broken left wrist, and stuff like this.
Because you were a woman of a certain age, she just made that assumption almost.
No, I mean, it was because of how injured I was.
Oh, I see. Right, yeah. I see.
And I didn't break anything.
Right, so the injury was there, but the bones were strong.
Yeah, the bones were strong.
Wow.
And the hospital were really surprised. And I sometimes talk to friends and, you know, you see them with like their arm in plaster or a leg in plaster. And when you say, how did you do it? They go, oh, I stumbled on a pavement and fell over. I just think, you know, I've been hit really badly. I managed to fall down the stairs and land on my head about 8 years ago and didn't break anything again. So it gives you very strong bones. I think if you lift weights, as well as increasing the density, I think it increases the flexibility. And by that, I don't mean your bones will do this, but it has a bit more flexibility.
Yeah.
So if you fall, your bones flex rather than breaking.
Yeah, yeah, great.
And in fact, you are less likely to fall because one of the things that weight training will do is it improves your core. So that if your core's stronger, if you get knocked off balance, you can very quickly recover rather than going all the way down onto the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now often when we, you know, talk about, you know, fitness and longevity and weight training, we don't necessarily always, you know, think vegan alongside of that. So that's another kind of layer to, you know, the kind of the inspiration you're offering in that you've been vegan. And of course, you'll get the obvious questions all the time. Well, you know, where do you get your protein then? So talk us through some of the, you know, the kind of the myths, if you like, and the positive benefits, in your opinion, of being vegan.
Okay, well, I mean, that is one people say, where do you get your, aren't you concerned about your protein? Where do you get your protein?
And the energy to go and work out in a gym, you know, because so many people think if you're vegan, you're going to be really weak and puny.
Well, actually, if anybody feels that, there's just a film's just been released called Game Changers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's the most amazing film. And, you know, there's people like Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, all sorts of really famous sports people talking about a plant-based diet, a vegan diet. So, yeah. In terms of protein, I would say nuts, seeds, beans are really good sources of protein for me, tofu. In fact, there is protein, like bread has protein. I think in Game Changers, I think they said that a peanut butter sandwich, so two slices of bread with peanut butter in the middle, has the equivalent amount of protein. I think they said to three eggs or something amazing. You know, so it's the idea that we need meat, we need fish, we need dairy and so on to get protein is just not right. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think is particularly interesting is beginning to be shown that these foods set up inflammatory reactions in the body. Now, when we think about inflammation, we often think about little old ladies with arthritis or maybe a friend who's got irritable bowel syndrome and gets flare-ups every so often. So that's what we often think about when we think about inflammation. But there's more and more evidence that that inflammation in the brain has been linked to all sorts of mental health issues.
Yeah.
So if you're eating meat and dairy, you're actually priming your body into an inflammatory state. And it won't be just a tiny bit of your body, it's the whole body. So your brain is going to be somewhat inflamed. So there's big suggestions around that, you know, there seems to be a link with anxiety, schizophrenia, depression, and so on, with inflammation that's going on in the brain. Mm. So, and one of the ways to counter that is by having a diet that doesn't have those inflammatory foods in. Yeah. And anti-inflammatory stuff is things like beans and nuts and seeds, vegetables. So yeah. You know, it really makes sense. I mean, particularly for people who are struggling a bit with their mental health, to some extent we all are, but some people are more than others. And I would really, really recommend that they look to shifting towards the plant-based diet if they don't want to become fully vegan.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly at the beginning, you know, often when people ditch the booze, they're really kind of aware of the need to kickstart the liver again and cleanse the liver a little bit. And of course, one of the best ways to do that is, you know, cruciferous vegetables, dark green leafy veg, putting the good stuff in.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm guessing that you would also be a fan of having juices or smoothies to get some of this extra stuff in, would you?
To some extent. I'm not a huge fan of smoothies. Every so often, I think I ought to be drinking smoothies. But I don't particularly like smoothies that much. I mean, I'm a huge fan of soup and salads and things like that.
Yeah.
Instead. I mean, you have to find the way that works for you. You know, what people need to be thinking about is increasing the amount of beans. There's a fantastic website called nutritionfacts.org. There's lots of really good information on there, and I would really recommend people to go and have a look at that. Dr. Michael Greger's written a book called How Not to Die.
That's very popular, isn't it, now?
So that's a really good book. And, you know, he talks about the benefits of beans and how they can really, really help us. So, you know, they're full of good, packed with good nutrients, protein, you know, they're anti-inflammatory, just really, really good. So, you know, the things I would urge people to do is to add beans to their diet, add a portion of nuts or seeds. And if you're a man, I would definitely consider pumpkin seeds.
For the zinc.
They've been shown to help protect against prostate cancer.
All right, okay. Yeah.
And they are a very good source of zinc. Brazil nuts are a good source of selenium, which people tend to be short of in their diet. So that would be a good one. Walnuts seem to, a lot of people do well on walnuts. So a handful of nuts or seeds every day.
Yeah.
Berries every day. Berries have been shown to be really good for the brain.
So
I would definitely add some berries.
I mean, I would say, I think all these tips are great for people, you know, whether you want to go vegan or not, you know, at the beginning when you're ditching the booze, it really is a case of let's put some good stuff in, give the body a chance to repair, and let's try and kickstart that energy. So all of these things are fantastic, really. Now, what about the sugar? Because again, you know, we talk a lot here about the fact that when you've just given up, you know, it's so easy to switch that craving to a sugar craving. And of course, you know, we tell people to avoid, or I do, artificial sugars at all costs. I'm always interested in what you know, different people have different versions of sweet stuff that they like to recommend. So, you know, what is it for you? Are you a fan of the of stevia or the xylitols or the coconut nectar? You know, there's a few alternatives, aren't there now?
Yeah, I mean, I do like xylitol.
The drops or the powder?
The powder. From anything else, it's good for the teeth. But one of the interesting things is, since I've become vegan, I've lost my sweet tooth.
Ah, that's interesting.
Mm. And that's been quite an extraordinary thing.
Great.
And you know, I'm one of these people who couldn't have a bar of chocolate in the house without
consuming it. Yes.
So I've moved a long way now. Now I can have a bar of chocolate in the house and forget it's there. I mean, that would have been totally and utterly impossible at one time. And again, it seems like there's the bacteria in the gut, the biome, which people are talking about more and more and more.
Yeah.
Sugar and all that sort of stuff feeds the bad bacteria.
Yeah.
That actually get you to eat it, to crave sugar even more. Whereas yeah. things like beans and vegetables feed the bacteria that actually switch off that sugar craving.
Yeah.
So in a long-term situation, increase your beans, increase your vegetables in to get your, you know, if you look after your good bacteria, they'll look after you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great tip.
So that's yeah. what I would say long-term. Mm. I think if people get a lot of ups and downs with the sugar, you know, sugar spiking and things like that, sunflower seeds seem to be really good to counteract that. So yeah. Recommend a handful of sunflower seeds.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. And then finally, Jane, what would you, I mean, you know, you're not only, you know, really fit, of course, and healthy, and you look absolutely amazing for your age, but you also got that sense of sort of good mental well-being and balance, you know, in yes. your life. So, you know, again, well, we know that ditching the booze is fantastic for helping to reduce yes. some of your anxiety. You know, the link between mental health issues and booze is, you know, is high. We know that. But is there anything else that you would kind of recommend? Because I know you sometimes talk about just the importance of being curious, if you like. And I know you yourself have said that, you know, you've met some people who you don't think of yourself as elderly, but you know, there are some people who are elderly, and it's almost like they've kind of given up on curiosity. So, yes. I mean, what's that about? How do people get to that stage?
Well, I don't know, because for me...
you aren't, fortunately.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm curious about the world. I'm passionately...
Yeah. But is that the key, do you think? Do you think that's the key to kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, how do we kickstart that? If someone has been perhaps through a phase of you know, feeling really quite down, and then that can make yeah. you quite isolated, yeah. how would they step away from that? How would they make a start towards that mental well-being apart from diet, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to make lots of little small steps. One of the things I always say is you have to think it's not about me. And I think what happens is people get anxious, you know, anxious about what other people are thinking about them, anxious of appearing silly, anxious about making mistakes, anxious about looking too fat, too old, too thin, too wrinkly, whatever it is. So it's like everything, so their whole attention is focused on them. So everybody around them, they only see them in relation to themselves.
Mm, yeah.
Whereas what I do is I'll say I go to an event, I will often look for the person who looks like they're standing on their own.
Yeah.
Looking nervous. And I'll go and talk to them. Mm. And sometimes, you know, you can, after you've spoken to them a bit,
think, yeah. why they're on their own.
But very often, they actually turn out to be really interesting people, but just they're a bit shy. And then you end up having a great conversation. And I just feel, you know, just being interested in other people. I'm really curious about what makes people tick. I like talking to people who have very opposing political views to me. Mm. You know, I sort of seek them out, and then I ask them about, can you explain to me why you think this, why you feel this way? Mm. And, you know, I try not to get into an argument, but to just listen and understand. I might then put my point of view. Mm. I'm just curious about the world, curious about everything in it. I'm curious about how fit I can be, you know, how Right. strong I can be, and all sorts of things, yeah.
Great. So just tell us where people can see more of your stuff, Jane.
Okay, so there's janethurnellreid.com, which is my website. Do you want me to spell that, or is that
no,
okay?
No, I'll put that in the show notes. That's fine.
Okay, so it's janethurnellreid.com. And on Instagram, which is where I post all my gym videos and lots of vegan food pics and things like that. And that's at Thriving Jane.
Brilliant.
J-A-N-E, not Jane, J-A-Y-N. Too old, called
Jane. Jane Thurnell-Reed, thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So that one was definitely talking to me, right? Time to go and get myself some fitness bands, if nothing else, and start doing a workout of some kind. I will report back. So Jane also has done a separate bit of bonus content for us in the Sober Club. That's one of the things that we're doing in the club is some of our podcast guests are going to do some exclusive content for us. It's just another great reason to join us in the Sober Club if you're so inclined. Just to explain, if you haven't heard me talk about it before, it's online, it's a website. You can go to the website and there's a few blog posts and things there. And then if you actually register and pay to join us, it's just a special beta rate, they call it. That means it's early days. It's the beginning. And if you come in as a founder member at the rate of $9.99, then you get to stay at that rate, the same rate that every month for as long as you want to be in the club. And it will never be cheaper than that. And we are going to close the doors for a bit. I was going to close the doors this weekend, but I'm speaking at an event on Sunday at the Wonderment Retreat, just in Berkshire. And then next week, I've actually been invited onto a couple of radio shows to talk about the Sober Club. So I thought, well, we better leave it open next week then. So it'll be open for probably another week, and then we'll close the doors and then we'll reopen again. But obviously the price is going to go up then, because we'll have even more content. As it is, we've got some amazing content in the club. I am really proud of it, because I've got so many great experts who've been willing to share their stuff with us. We've got Elsa Frank, the hypnotherapist, who we've interviewed on the podcast. When you first sign up, you get a free 10-minute De-Stress Your Life hypnosis audio download, courtesy of Elsa Frank. So that's pretty cool. That's a bit of a no-brainer, right? And then within our Mindset Buzz section on the course, we've got a 3-video series from William Porter, who did a great Q&A just for our members as well last week. That's all about beating cravings and how you deal with those sort of triggers and cravings, not just for alcohol. You know, it may be that you gave up the booze a long time ago, but now you find yourself craving sugar or cigarettes or whatever it might be. So that's a super useful video series. And there's another download as well from Elsa Frank on how you can make behavior changes, you know, easy tips for behavior change. And then over in our nutrition and fitness buzz section, we've got a bunch of stuff. There's some interviews with a naturopath, a different one to the one we interviewed last week. We've got some great recipes. We've got lots of drink stuff about drinks. We've got something on Pilates, an interview on Pilates, and we're going to be uploading some Pilates workouts. And then we've got various meditations. There's a whole bunch of stuff, and everything is focused around health and well-being, mindset, fitness. It's all about the holistic picture, really. All underpinned by that decision to ditch the booze or by the sobriety that you already have. And then if you are starting out, or if you're now at the stage where you want to crack another addiction, then we have an online course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze, which is a 3-month course, which has a kind of workbook as well, that people are working through. And then, as I say, there's an exclusive Facebook group, which is totally rocking it. There's so many lovely people in the community who are just, I don't know, very, very supportive of each other, even though people are at different stages. There's already some great tips and recipes and ideas, and everyone's just really very encouraging. So if you want to be part of it as a founder member, you can help shape it. We'd love to have you involved. It's www.thesoberclub.com, and please come over and join us while we're in our founder member stage. It would be lovely to have you there as part of it. Make sure you follow me on Instagram if you're not already, at Janie Lee Grace, and on Facebook. And just a reminder, in the club we've got some competitions. You can access the competitions on my other site, on imperfectlynatural.com, as well as on the Sober Club. And there's just a very short space of time, it might be another week left, before we close the competitions to win various alcohol-free drinks. So there's a comp there to win some Sea Arch, which is a fabulous botanical, not gin, one of my absolute faves. You can win some kombucha. You can win some Jeffrey's Tonics. They're absolutely great. They were one of the winners in our Platinum Awards alongside Sea Arch, actually. And there's some non-such shrubs, I think. There's a competition to still win some of that. And then there's also a competition to win I think it's a case of 12 alcohol-free beers from The Dry Drinker. So great selection there of competitions. And, you know, if you don't enter, you're not going to get a chance to win. So you may as well give it a go. I will look forward to seeing you very soon. Coming up in the next few weeks, I'm going to be interviewing Laura Willoughby from Club Soda. I have interviewed her before a while ago about Club Soda, but now they're doing so many more things, and particularly they have this pub and club guide, and I thought it would be great to speak to Laura about how things are changing in the UK, the availability of alcohol-free drinks, you know, proper grown-up drinks, and how she's working so incredibly hard to really, you know, change this conversation around alcohol-free drinks and how non-drinkers, if you like, are perceived in pubs and clubs. It's quite timely because a colleague of mine was arranging a lunch for us at quite a famous, very expensive hotel just outside London. And she rang ahead and said, you know, what can you provide for non-drinkers? Just as you would if you had a dietary requirement, you know, you would check the vegan options or the gluten-free options or whatever. And they basically said, well, we have a mocktail on offer, which, you know, we know will, you know, be okay, but it's going to be quite sugary, or you can bring your own. She had asked whether they had any alcohol-free fizz or anything like that, and they said you can bring your own alcohol-free wine, and the corkage is £25 per bottle. So I thought, ouch. So you know, they need educating. Because you know, we aren't the only you know, patrons who are going to want to go and have a really nice lunch and not drink. And if it's how daft of them not to have some great stuff on offer when there is so many incredible alcohol-free drinks available now. So anyways, I'm going to be interviewing Laura Willoughby from Club Soda, and I'm sure she'll have some amazing insights for us and give us lots of tips and ideas. I've got an interview coming up with an NLP practitioner who is also a weight loss expert and nutritionist. So that's going to be absolutely fascinating. I am still trying to get Augustine Burroughs. I haven't forgotten about that. I'm still on to his people. I'm really hoping that that's going to happen. And there's a few other very exciting guests in the pipeline. And if you have any suggestions for me, or if you would like to be featured on the podcast, you know, I love, you know, sharing people's stories. So why not drop me a line? You know, you've got nothing to lose. Just drop me a line and we'll see. We'll take it from there. And any suggestions you have for me, perhaps you've got a hotline to some amazing sober heroes or quitlet authors or celebs or experts or whatever it might be, and I'll be delighted to hear them. So whatever you're up to this week, we wish you all the best. Give yourself a massive hug, whatever stage you are at, and please do take a look at the Sober Club before we close up for founder members. Obviously, I would love to have more podcast listeners you know, come in and form this community right at the beginning. You know, we're all kind of friends, so it'd be lovely to have you in there. And I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast with Janie Lee Grace. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us, share on social media, and tune in again.